Take your Bibles this morning and go with us back to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And before we get into the message this morning, I want us to take just a moment and to pray for our nation. Our nation needs prayer in a great way. And we are praying that during this time that God would unite His people, certainly would give great wisdom to our leaders, would help all of us to examine our own hearts and lives, and that God would intervene in our life and in our nation during this time. By the way, don't be surprised of all that's going on around you. God said it was going to be this way in the end times, that there would be violence in the streets, that nation would rise against nation, that there would be pestilence and disease, that all of these things would happen. And so, although we ought to be prayerful people, we also ought to be peaceful people and realize that it is the peace of God in these times that is a witness to the world. So when there's so much chaos going on around us, we need to be examples of peace, that we have the peace of God that is beyond any understanding. And so we want to pray for them. Pray for those that are also protecting our country, some of them in our church. And Brother Shane, we thank you for your service to our country. And let's thank him publicly this morning for his service. And now their daughter is away serving as well. And we're praying for her and praying for Michael as well, and others in our church who are serving our country. So let's just take a moment, if we could, to pray and ask God to help us. Father, we come to you, and Lord, we do realize the biblical principle to pray as a nation and to ask forgiveness and confess our sins, not just individually, but as a nation. And God, we have been a nation who has turned our back upon you. Lord, we have aborted millions of babies. And God, all we can do is plead for your grace and for your mercy. God, we do thank you for those that you have put in leadership over our nation right now. And God, we pray that you would give them great wisdom. We pray for President Trump and Vice President Pence. And we do pray for those that are leading, God, that you would give them the words that need to be said, the actions that need to be said. God, I pray that each of us would seek our own hearts. Lord, I know that by our sinful nature, we are prejudiced and we have those tendencies. And so, God, help us to be honest about that. Help us to confess it and forsake it and get rid of it, especially within the church. And Lord, I pray that the world would be able to look inside the church and see something very different, that there is unconditional love as you have loved us. And Lord, I pray for the violence. I pray, Lord, that it would stop, that it would cease. I pray for those that are defending and trying to protect communities, our police officers. I thank you for Josh, one that we have here in our own church, and others, Lord. Craig, I pray for him. And pray, Lord, for others who are protecting in our community, that you would watch over them. And Lord, we pray for your grace and your mercy upon our nation, and pray, Lord, that we would use this time as well to propel the gospel forth in our community. And we ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, Philippians chapter 2, we started in this last section, and we may finish it today. This will either be the shortest sermon I've preached in a while or the longest sermon I've preached in a while. And so we may save Epaphroditus for Father's Day. It will fit perfectly. And just talk about Timothy today and go into the baptisms and let you out at a normal time. Or if the Spirit leads, we'll go ahead and go right into Epaphroditus and finish him today. We don't know yet. It's all a surprise. And so wherever the Lord leads us, we're excited about that. We're looking at the last section, and once we finish this, we'll be halfway through the book of Philippians as we have been going through this series of joy on this journey that God has given us, and we're looking at models of joyful service in this last section. And I want you to say with me, and hopefully you've got this in your heart and your mind by now. In fact, before we even put it up there, let's take it back off. I want to see if you've gotten any of it and see if you can fill in the blank. We're going to do a little test real quick, all right? So joy is a blank from God. What is it? It's a gift from God to those who believe the gospel, all right? Joy is a gift from God to those who believe the gospel produced in us by the Holy Spirit, good. Mixed with trials. Some of you have your cheat sheets on your paper. You're not fooling me. I'm still glad to have the response. Mixed with trials as we set our hope on future glory. All right, so joy is something that all of us have. It's a gift from God. All of those who believe the gospel, put our faith in Christ, produced in us by the Holy Spirit, mixed with trials in this life. How? As we set our hope on future glory. And last week we began looking at the last section of chapter 2, looking at Paul and his model that he has given us. Remember, we said that earlier in chapter 2, we have the extreme model, we have the perfect model in Jesus Christ, but we see here at the end of this chapter some human models, people who get up every day like you and I do, who deal with a sin nature, who have to deal with the battles that we go through in this life, and it's encouraging to have human models, isn't it? Because if all we had was the model of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're thankful for and we ought to be striving for, but if that was all we had, then we might not think that it was attainable. But we have here at the end of chapter 2, three human models that show us that service for the Lord Jesus Christ is possible, and they show us how to do so. I want to ask you, if you would, to stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning as we begin in verse number 17 and go through the end of the chapter. Yea, and if I be offered, Paul writing here, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, or honor him, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. You may be seated. Father, again, we pray that through your word this morning that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that we would lift up the name of Jesus, that we would bring glory and honor to you through your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As we mentioned last week, looking at the Apostle Paul, we were looking at his courageous commitment. And listen, I want to remind all of us this morning that if God has saved us, he has saved us to what? Serve him. He has saved us to find a place of service. In other words, it is not okay with God for you and I to simply be a spectator in the Christian life. He has called us to serve him. It's not okay with God for us not to find a place to serve and to kind of sit around and find fault with everything that's going on and not to be involved in the church. And so we all should be living out Philippians chapter 2. Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, they are model servants who live their Christian life, as we've learned throughout this book, in humility and unity, without grumbling, without complaining, working on the outside what God had done in their heart. And so we saw last week that it was Paul's zeal and it was his courage and his commitment that made him so effective in his ministry. And we said last week, a lot of us could use some more zeal. A lot of us could use some more courage and more commitment when it comes to the service of Christ. And if there has ever been a time where the church has needed courageous and committed servants, church, it is today. It is right now in this hour.
When it came to the gospel, Paul was all in. He said, if I be offered, look there in the text, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, he's saying literally, if I be poured out like a drink offering, I joy and rejoice. And so it's a statement of complete commitment to Jesus Christ and his church. And then he commends the church at Philippi for their same commitment. They all had this courage and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had reached a common altar with the people that he loved so dearly at the church at Philippi, and they had reached a common altar with Paul, the apostle whom they loved. We mentioned this, the greater our love, the greater our sacrifice, and the greater our sacrifice, the greater our joy. And it goes back to the heart of it, is the greater our love. So if we lack sacrifice and we lack therefore joy, the root of the problem then goes back to our personal walk and our personal relationship and our love life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we looked and we saw in the Apostle Paul a model of courageous commitment. Secondly, this morning I want us to look at Timothy and his model of caring cooperation. We see this in verses 19 through 24 as Paul begins to describe Timothy to the church at Philippi. He is going to send him back. He can't go himself. He wants to go, but he can't go because he is in prison. And so he is going to send to them Timothy. Timothy was a helper. We can learn so much from Timothy's life, and we mentioned this, that last week our model was a very seasoned man, Paul. He was an older man. He was, matter of fact, towards the end of his life and his ministry, but he also gives us a model that is not old. He gives us this son in the faith, Timothy, and remember that he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and he tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou a what? An example, a model. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And he's telling Timothy to rise up. And listen, I want to say this morning to our young people, our teenagers, our young couples this morning who are in this church, and you can categorize yourself young or old, however you want, or fit there in the middle somehow. But I want to challenge us this morning that if ever there was a need and a time for youth to rise up in the church, it is right now. I am so thankful for the seasoned people that God has in this church. And they are busy and they are serving and they are working. But it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that if this church is going to go forward and if this church is going to continue to be strong, it is going to mean that young men and young women are committed courageously to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to serving the Lord through the church. And so we need to be busy. We need to get involved. We need to be faithful. Get as involved as you possibly can. I was so encouraged, as I mentioned, to see Caitlin and other young people, young couples and young people in our service. I was thankful that 20-something teenagers were over at Mission Point on Sunday and 15 to 20 over at the radio station in our young adult service. It encourages me to see youth rising up because we need young people to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's trusted Timothy that will carry Paul's mission and affection back to these believers. God had prepared this young man to help Paul carry the gospel into the Gentile world. And I believe that God specifically chose Timothy to do so because although Timothy's father was a Gentile, his mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek. His mother was a Jew. We read about his mother Eunice in Timothy, but it appears that while he was trained formally in the Greek culture from his father or from his father's side of the family, that it was his mother and his grandmother who taught him informally the doctrines of salvation. And so he would be a perfect fit to help Paul take Paul take the gospel into the Gentile world. He was a model second man to Paul. He had no desire to make a big name for himself, but simply to advance the gospel by assisting Paul in the vision that God had given him. He was with Paul in Philippi. He was with Paul in Thessalonica. He was with Paul in Berea. He was with Paul in Corinth. He was with Paul in Ephesus. He was with Paul right here in Rome. Wherever Paul went, he took Timothy with him to serve him. He was a dependable young man. Paul could tell him to go and to serve in this place, and he would go and serve. He could take him with him, and he would go with him. He could say, go here and stay, and Timothy would go there and stay and be faithful to what God had called him to do. He was always faithful to fulfill that which God had given him to do. And so he says, and I think it's a wonderful verse. Look at it, verse number 20. Paul says about Timothy, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. So I want to give you this morning just four quick things about Timothy and his spirit, because this is where it began in Timothy's life. He wasn't just going through the motions. This was who he was in his heart. And so I want you to see four things about his spirit that you and I should be able to look at and say, I need those things in my life. Number one is this: we see his kindred spirit. We see his kindred spirit. He says that he was like-minded. And the word there means that he was one-souled, that he was one in thought, that he was one in mind, that he was one in feeling and in spirit with the Apostle Paul. He came, look, to every situation in life with a spiritual mind. He learned that from the Apostle Paul. But everything that he came to in this life, he looked at it through spiritual lens, so to speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. I think we have it there, so you don't have to turn there. But it is an interesting verse. And the context is that the church at Corinth is an absolute mess. And so Paul is writing a corrective letter to the church at Corinth. And listen to what he says about Timothy. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus. He's saying, I can't be there, but I want you to be followers of me as I follow Christ. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You know what he's saying? As you look at Timothy, there is no man who is like-minded. There is no one who has the heart that I have any more so than Timothy. And so I'm going to send him to you so that you can follow his example. One of the greatest compliments you could ever give anybody is say he has the passion and the vision and the character of the Apostle Paul. And that's exactly what's said here about Timothy. He had a kindred spirit. Secondly, I want you to notice that he had a caring spirit. He had a caring spirit. He says he will naturally care for your state. There was no one that Paul could send who would naturally care for the church at Philippi like Timothy would. He was a man of great compassion. He was a sympathetic man. When he heard of problems, when he heard of situations that were going on in people's life, he didn't dismiss it quickly. He didn't put it off, but he was moved with compassion at their situations. And let me say again, men, that we need some men who are courageous to stand, but we also need men with compassion and care. We need men who will listen. We need men who will care about the state of others, will be sympathetic to their situation. And so we see here that Timothy had the heart of a true shepherd. The word there means that he was deeply burdened for them. He loved them. He cared for them. And he desired to see them progress in their spiritual life. He was a man of great care and a man of great compassion. And men, we need that in our life. Absolutely, we need courage and we need commitment, but we also need to be men who care, who look at the multitudes and we look at our world And we don't just have a condemning spirit at the world, but our hearts are grieved at the state of mankind. Our hearts are hurting. Our hearts care for people who are so lost that they will mock a God and turn a face, their face and their heart against God. And listen, it's so easy for us to become hardened to that, but we need men and women today who are people who care about souls, care about lives. And when we watch the news, we're not just moved with righteous indignation, which we are at times, but we're also moved with righteous compassion and care and concern about what's going to happen to those people, Dr. Clark, if they die without Jesus Christ. That we see them more than just people who oppose our nation or oppose our president, but we see them as people who need a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, or they're going to spend an eternity in hell. That we're moved with compassion. We're people who not only are courageous, but are also caring. And then the third thing I want you to see about Timothy is his selfless spirit. And boy, we could all learn from this. Look what he says in verse number 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now he is talking to them and introducing to them Timothy. And he says about other people, and unfortunately, it is the Christians around them that he is speaking of here. And he is saying they all seek their own, speaking of the other Christians. But he's telling them here that Timothy was single-minded. He was focused on Christ and Christ alone. He wasn't focused on making a name for himself like others around him who were more focused on advancing themselves than advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you remember in chapter 1 when he's talking about the other preachers, that he tells them that he thanks God for them, that they're preaching the gospel, but he says they also have another agenda. They also are trying to promote themselves. They're also trying to make a name for themselves. And so he says here about Timothy, he is a selfless spirit. He is focused on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. He is focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting it around to the world. And look, this is a sad commentary on these believers. I want you to think about the examples they had. Paul, Timothy, and Luke. And there's places in the scripture where he says, all I have is Timothy to send to you. All I have is this one man, this example, this selfless man who's not concerned about making a name for himself, but he is focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul says about Demas, who was also someone who was once a co-laborer, a co-worker with him? He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Another sad commentary, that he got distracted, that he lost focus on the main thing, that he became distracted with all the things around him. The world distracted him, and he lost focus of the one thing that he was to go after, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man named Dawson Trotman, a great man of God, and Billy Graham was asked to speak at his funeral, and he said this of him. He said, Dawson was a man who did not say, these four things I will dabble at, but this one thing I will do. What a great testimony. I wonder, as people look at our lives, do they see a selfless spirit that is focused on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they see us dabbling at so many things that the world is throwing at us, so many distractions, that we have lost focus of why we are here, church, and that is to glorify God by spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to this community? That's why we're here. That's why we exist. This church isn't here as a country club, as a social club. It is here as a saving station where people can see Jesus Christ and have their lives changed. It's why we exist. Don't lose focus. It's not about making a name for ourselves. And we see that here in the last part, especially, and we'll close with this, but we see Timothy's submissive spirit in verse number 22. He says, but you know the proof of him. In other words, you know what he's proven in his own life.
And that is that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Don't miss this. This is wonderful. He basically says, as we mentioned, that he has submitted himself under the servant leadership of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul did not see Timothy like Timothy saw Paul. Paul didn't say that Timothy served him. Notice what he says. He says, he hath served what? With me. He has served with me in the gospel. And so Paul saw him as a fellow servant. He doesn't see him as the master and Timothy the servant. He sees them both as fellow servants. But from Timothy's viewpoint, he saw himself as a spiritual son and Paul the spiritual father. And so he submitted himself underneath Paul's trusted leadership. He never tried to compete with the Apostle Paul. No more than a little boy tries to compete with his father. I thought about, as I was reading this, my dad, and many times when my dad would take me, and some of the greatest memories I have in my life are as a young boy when my dad would put me in the truck and he would take me to visit someone, either in the hospital or in their home. And I know how my dad felt about that. To him, we were fellow servants. But as a son watching him, he was my model. He was my example. And I submitted myself to his servant leadership because he wasn't trying to make me his servant. He saw us as fellow servants. He saw us as serving the Lord together. But I so was impressed with his servant leadership and his submission to God and his passion for the gospel that I submitted myself to him. And I learned from him. In Hebrews 13, it says that Timothy followed Paul's faith with a spiritually submissive spirit. There is not one time in the New Testament where you will see Timothy with his own agenda. He was a very submissive and useful and available man who was very focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also see this in the life of Timothy, and it's good not only to see the successes, but to see the struggle points, because we have those in our own life. In 2 Timothy, when Paul is getting ready to end his life here on this earth, he writes his final letter, his final epistle. He doesn't write it to a church, he writes it to an individual. And he writes it to his son in the faith, Timothy. And obviously, Timothy was starting to struggle a little bit in his life, and Paul knew that it was Timothy that was going to carry on his ministry that God had given him, his vision. He knew that it was Timothy that was to do that. And so in 2 Timothy, he writes to him as his son in the faith, and he says, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. He says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And church, that is my plea to us this morning. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a person who has great courage and has great commitment. We need that in this time. We are in. Let me tell you this. This is not just a physical battle we're seeing. This is a spiritual battle that we are at. And you and I better understand that and better go and put our fighting clothes on and have the Word of God and be full of the Spirit of God and empty ourselves of the flesh so that we can fight this battle that God's called us to. And so we need to put on courage and commitment, but we also need to clothe ourselves with compassion and selflessness. Hey, if the only time you serve is when you can be seen or when you're the best in that part, you're missing it all, my friend. This is not my church. This is not Fred Allred's church. This is not your church. It's not your ministry. It is the Lord's work. And we are privileged to be a part of it. We're thankful for the vision that God gave people. And listen, I still see myself as a Timothy, thank the Lord. I still see myself as a son, as young. And I look at people like Brother Fred Allred, who had a vision, and I see him as a Paul, who had such a great passion and a great vision. But listen, we are focused on one thing, and that is carrying out what Fred Allred wanted this church to be, and that is a saving station where the gospel is preached. And people look in and they see a church that loves each other. Amen.
That's what our commitment is to. So if somebody comes in and they serve in our area and they can help our area show Christ to a lost and dying world, I'll tell you what, we need some of our older people to invest in Timothy's. Some of our Pauls to invest in Timothy's and to bring them up and say, hey, I'm not always going to be here. I'm going to serve as long as the Lord gives me breath, but I'm not always going to be here. And so I'm going to invest in another generation. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing. He was saying, I need a younger Timothy who's going to come up and take my place and have my passion and have my vision and have my zeal and courage and commitment and compassion. And Timothy is the man, and that's what we need. A healthy church is a multi-generational church, all serving the Lord side by side, hand in hand, doing what God has called us to do. And every person in this church is needed. I hope the Pauls, the seasoned, will say, hey, I'm going to serve as long as the Lord gives me health and opportunity. I'm going to serve, but I'm also going to pour in. And young people, I hope that you realize that it's time for us to step up, and it's time for us to be committed to the work of Christ, to the service of Christ. It's time for us to sacrifice like those before us have sacrificed. It's time for us to pick up the plow and for us to serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these examples. Thank you so much for the example of the Apostle Paul in his ministry. And Lord, there's so much to learn from him in his zeal and passion for the gospel. And now today, God, I pray that we would mix that with Timothy and the example that he gives us in living a selfless life. Living a surrendered life, a submissive life. Lord, that we would not be focused upon ourselves, but we would be focused upon you and your glory and pointing this world and this community to Jesus Christ. And we ask all these things in Christ's name.